Good evening, dreamers and doers, beautiful souls from all walks of life, and welcome to the Most High Show. My name is Clayton, and I'm honored to be leading you through an enlightening journey, exploring the power of the heart, not as an organ, but as an energy center which resides within all of us and connects us to deep compassion, inner wisdom, unconditional love, and sustainable healing. My co-pilot on this journey is no stranger to the show. One of mine and your favorite people, Most High's own Chad Smith. Chad?
Thank you for having us this evening and sharing your space with us. And thank you for all that you do here at Most High and for your community.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Absolutely, my friend. And now it is my great pleasure to introduce our guest of honor this week. Please welcome my good friend, Maha. Maha, welcome to the show, and thank you for being with us.
Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
So a little bit about Maha. Maha is an experienced transformational guide and a spiritual mentor, specializing in heart-centered healing practices such as Reiki, yoga, sacred space creation, and multidimensional healing. With a profound commitment to holistic well-being, she inspires individuals to reconnect with their authentic selves and embrace empowered healing through the wisdom of the heart. I absolutely love Maha, and I was so blessed and honored when she reached out to me and wanted to be on the show this evening that I had to take the selfish opportunity to invite myself onto the show as well to further experience this with her. So I truly am excited that you're here, and welcome to the show. So if you want to start by maybe telling us just a little bit more about yourself and a little bit about the calling that kind of led you to go down this journey and to be who you are today.
Okay, so I'll be honest, when I felt in the fact that I was going to be asked to talk about myself, I was like, wow, I don't really like to talk about myself. But then again, when we talk about ourselves, that is the journey and that is the medicine. So I am no different than you, and I'm no different than anybody that's listened to this. But the only thing in my life that has led me to healing was my own heart. And whether that spoke to me from an internal voice or a voice through a brother or a sister or somebody at the grocery store, that was the only string of light throughout everything in my life that guided me. So when I got to a point in my life where I realized that I kind of had to readjust and reevaluate what is the driver of my life, I realized that I was driving a lot with my mind that thought it was my heart. And that got me into a lot of places where I lacked discernment, or I lost parts of my soul. So when myself had to pick myself back up, the only thing that I could hear and listen to was my heart.
I love that. Nice. So truly tonight's topic is the power of the heart, and it's one that has certainly guided your life in its entirety. And I think that, you know, for me, I mean, I strive daily to listen to my heart more and to be able to make decisions and act upon those feelings in the heart and in the soul. And for me, it's really hard to get out of my head. And I spend too much time there evaluating decisions and which direction to take and things. And I think by acting on that intuition and acting out of the heart, I feel like it would kind of facilitate life by being able to operate in that way. It should make things almost easier.
It does. It really does make it so easy that it's almost like, whoa, how is it that easy? It can't be that easy. It can't be that easy, but it really is that easy because our hearts are our internal compass. And when we're tuned into that, and that's simply with the intention and the choice to do it, It's not really, you don't really have to do, you know, this 20-line list of preparing yourself for the heart. It's just an intention, because that is the power of the connection of our hearts and our awareness when we choose that.
Mm. No. So I was having a conversation with Christian earlier today, and so maybe I can bring that into us a little bit. So as far as following your heart and stuff, how do you differentiate that from just kind of doing whatever you want to do mm-hmm. today? Because, you know, we were talking earlier, and what if your heart is telling you today, like, I don't want to get out of bed. I just mm-hmm. want to lay in bed all day and eat Cheetos. Mm-hmm. And would that be kind of following your heart, or does your heart know, like, the deeper desires of your life?
Well, that would be following your heart, and you'd learn something out of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, anything we choose that we're in our heart, we're going to learn something. But is it connected to our higher self, mm-hmm. to our soul, to the light of our spirit? That's and usually sitting on the couch like that, we are movement beings. We have energy in us. So doing that would be in a restful state. So that's not technically in alignment with movement, life force, light, creation. The sun rises and it sets. There's always a movement. So us being sedentary, yes, there's necessity in resting, but our heart ultimately would know that that wasn't our highest choice, right? All day long, we would be getting drop-ins of, I should be doing that, or I should be doing that. And it's not judgment. It's just your higher self saying, hey, are you ready to write this paper? Are you ready to sing that song? Are you ready to paint that canvas? Those type things. So it really comes down to the choice. Like, your intention, it can't be tricked. You can't trick intention. You can dress up however you want to. You can put on any costume you want to, but you can't trick intention, because that's what creates.
Mm. I like that, because we were talking in the lobby before the show, and I said, you know, how have you been? I haven't seen you in a long time. We met, like, I don't know, probably over a year ago over at The Rock, and, you know, good, how have you been? And then it was like, well, just going with, you know, just following my heart. And I was like, yeah, me too. I think I'm not always sure, you know what I mean? And so what you just said there, though, those little thoughts or those little conscious things that happen, like, hey, you have to couch and do something that necessarily is coming from the heart. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because the heart is a frequency, and there's a lot of frequencies in the world. There's a lot of frequencies in our interactions with each other. Frequencies are merging. So the only real way to know that you're in your heart is when you get by yourself. And when you listen to that voice by yourself, and then when you listen to that voice by yourself, you can hear it when you're with other people. You can hear it when you're doing something that's distracting. But other than that, you don't pick up the phone. You don't tune into that channel, so you can't hear it.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on that channel, those energy, that energy and the frequencies and the flow of that and stuff? Because so do you think that there is maybe one, like, a universal flow or energy? And I know that there is one frequency that is more present throughout the universe. I think it's in like an 832 range or something. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I know that is all always present. And I will say, here recently, the most in tune that I feel like I've been into the flow and the energy of the universe have been when I have sat in the sacred ceremonies of sweat lodges that are hosted by Maha and her partner Angel. So thank you guys for creating that sacred space and allowing me to come into those, because those experiences are, for me, some of the most incredible experiences that I've had.
So I was going to say, with that, nature is the prime frequency. Mm. So nature, the natural world, doesn't change. You can build buildings on the earth, but it still has the frequency of nature. It doesn't matter what we as humans do. So nature, the frequency of nature, is when you can hear that universal, that one tone that is many tones put together. Mm.
before we get too deep, I'm just curious, what exactly is a sweat lodge? I don't know much about what you do. I know what Clayton has told me, and I am here tonight to ask the very basic questions of, like, what is a sweat lodge?
Okay. So there's a lot of different sweat lodges. There's a lot of different ways in which to co-create that with God, with Spirit, with Source. The way in which I have chosen to walk my path and to walk my life is this. A sweat lodge is a healing, it's almost like the first hospital, or it's also the first church, because healing and sacredness and spirit all go together. God, Source, your soul. So in the sweat lodge, it's an inipi, and so it's built out of sticks. It's built out of all nature-based elements. It's built out of sticks, and it's covered in blankets. And it's a representation of the universe. It's a representation of the cosmos, of Mother Earth, of the mother's womb. Okay. So when you get there and you crawl into it, you're crawling into your mother's womb. So you're choosing to rebirth yourself. Hmm. It's completed in four rounds, okay, for the mind, heart, body, spirit. So when you go in there, it's all four directions, all four seasons, all four elements in one. There's a fire pit and a sacred fire, and these sacred stones are heated in the fire. Once they're hot and ready to go, then you bring the stones across the altar into the sweat lodge. And then songs are sang, prayers are prayed, laughter happens, tears happen, a lot happens in there, but we all create it together. So the people that show up are the medicine. If nobody shows up, gotcha, it's beautiful when it's just Angel and I, but the people that show up, you guys are the medicine. That's it. It is.
Very cool.
I remember the first time that I showed up, and it was just three of us, me, you, and Angel. And I had like a self-conscious moment, and I was like, hey, if you guys don't want to do this today, like, I know I'm the only one that showed up. Like, we don't have to do this. It's cool. I'll go home. And y'all told me, you're like, man, we do this if nobody shows up. You know, this is a practice that we love and enjoy, and I mean, creating this space is something that you guys truly love to do, and
it saved my life.
You do it so well.
Because it saved my life.
I can see that. I mean,
there would be no other reason that I would other than it saved my life.
The spectrum of emotion that I've seen and felt inside of the lodge is so incredibly vast and intense, and to have the heart being the center of that whole experience. If you've never done a sweat lodge, I highly advise it. It's an incredible practice. And again, I thank you for opening my eyes to that practice. Mm-hmm. And
now when you say it saved your life, what do you mean? Saved you from what? Like, what, can you elaborate on that at all?
Well, I didn't realize I was spiritually sick. Hmm. And I didn't also realize I was mentally sick and emotionally sick and physically sick, because I was blind to a lot of things that were happening. But whenever I chose to get up on my feet, move on with my life, let everything else down, lay it all down, the only thing that was left was the lodge. I kept hearing God and Spirit saying, keep moving with the lodge, keep learning the songs, keep praying, keep loving the earth, build the lodge, the people will come, just listen to yourself. But you have to receive the medicine first. You have to sit in there, and you have to receive, and you have to be clear, and you have to be whole before the people can come. Mm. Because personally, I've been through a lot of the masked spirituality in this world. Mm. Participated in it, been a creator of it, all of it. That was all a part of me not knowing I was spiritually sick, but I knew there was truth in that sweat lodge because I could connect with God more than I ever had. Mm. But I had to lay down all of that life and all of that, but knowing that God's going to support me to create this. We can do it. We can do it. And it was a calling. It was a faith, walking by faith, because I had to heal myself. I went to so many shamans. I went to so many medicine people. I went to so many people, and they all laughed at my face Or they looked at me and said, what are you doing here? And I'm like, I don't know. I need help. They're like, and nobody would help. I couldn't find any help until I went inside and God said, heal yourself. Mm-hmm. Stand up, heal yourself, and go in that anipi, and it'll help you. So
that's powerful. How, I know you have a lot of questions on this outline, but how long have you been practicing this?
How long have I been practicing this? Let's say before, when was COVID? Whenever that. Okay, so before then, so about a I'd say 6 months before then is when I went into my first sweat lodge.
Very cool.
And I ran out of the first sweat lodge I ever went in the first round screaming.
I can see why. I have not made it through one of the lodges as well. It is a very intense experience. Yeah. And I don't know if that was the heat or the emotions that got to you. What caused you to run out screaming?
Yeah.
Wow, I don't know. That one, I felt, so I'm physically blind. I don't have eyesight. So it was the first time I was in a dark space, couldn't see, around people I didn't know, and touching into a place of my soul that I had never navigated before. Hmm. So I didn't feel comfortable, I don't think, to be able to relax into it. So I think that fear thought it needed to run. That fear thought it needed to go somewhere else other than sit with the fear. Hmm. Let the earth take the fear. Okay. Breathe the fear in.
Hold on. You're physically blind.
Yes.
Like you can't.
I can see colors and shapes very blurry.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Learn something new.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
That I didn't know also.
You didn't know that?
No. Okay. Interesting.
We found out here on The Most High Show.
You heard it first.
Heard it first on The Most High Show.
Surprise!
My eyes actually blind. We don't even know how she made it here, but she's here. No wonder you were late. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just picking on that. That's so cool. I think that's great. I'm gonna let Clayton proceed with the next question before I get carried away.
So, you know, as you do your different work with your clients through Reiki, through chakra balancing, yoga sessions, massage therapy, all the different things that you do, what kind of shifts and stuff do you see or feel in people when they allow the heart to be kind of the center of their healing, or what sort of blockage can you sense if they're not allowing that healing to come through that heart center?
So the way in which I do my work is I step forward as a channel, as a channel for the healing to meet the people exactly where they are. So I'm fully wide open. So as vast and as detailed and as much as they want, their heart wants, it'll flow through because I said that. That's what my heart feels called to serve as. So if someone steps forward and they're fully in their heart and they're ready to be vulnerable, they're ready to not care if somebody judges them, they're going to receive every type of healing that they need. And it's only from themselves. It's not from me. Mm. It's from themselves because they have brought it to the table and they brought it to their consciousness. Mm. And once they bring it to their consciousness, everything starts to work it out. But if someone's not in their heart and they're like, I don't know what I need healing from, I'm not sure. Well, then the universe doesn't know what to send you. Mm. It has no idea because you're not sure.
Mm. So what do you consider yourself? Like, if you had to give yourself a title, what would you call it? And if you don't have one, that's okay. I'm just curious. Is it like, would you consider it like a spiritual advisor or a medicine woman?
So, you know, I don't ever like to use any titles. I feel like it puts a ceiling. I show up a lot of different ways.
Okay.
I'm very colorful. So I show up. I show up wherever I'm showing up, and I'm in my heart. And if it needs me to show up as the medicine woman, then I guess that's what spirit wants me to do. If it needs me to show up as the janitor, I guess that's what spirit wants me to do. So I'd say I'm just a humble servant.
Mm. Very cool.
But God is the one that does the work through me, but I have to show up. Mm. So I have to show up in my heart or spirit. The spirits love laughter. God loves happiness. God loves us all the time, but laughter and happiness raises the vibration, and that is what connects us all together. So.
Absolutely. If I can just go back a second, I'm blown away. This was something that I didn't know also, that you, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you kind of really just started this spiritual journey 6 months before COVID? Mm-hmm. That absolutely amazes me. Mm-hmm. Wow, you have an old soul, and you've done this lots before then.
Yes. Yes, it was... That was a very blast open awakening, and it was not by choice. It was spirit. It was like, you got to do this because this is happening in the world. This COVID thing's going to happen, and then on the other side of that COVID thing, the humans are going to need assistance. You got to move through it. You got to support it. So I had no choice. Mm. I didn't know I was waking up. I didn't even know what an awakening was. Mm. Until one day, I think I looked at Angel and I said, I think I'm having a spiritual awakening. Is that what people call it?
Yeah, it comes in many forms.
It does. And I don't feel like if I had created it or called out for it myself, it would not have organically happened like it did. I don't know that you can really call out for a spiritual awakening. You can't really,
right.
You know, it's just a part of your journey, right. The unfolding.
I agree.
So, may I take it that you kind of enjoyed your time during COVID? It sounds like you really used it
really work inside. On yourself. Yes. Yeah.
So the maybe detachment from civilization, from the people and everything.
Yes. I was grateful to live. I lived in Blue Ridge or Ellijay at that time, mm-hmm. and I was grateful that where I lived, we had a sweat lodge. So I did that work the whole time. Okay. I just prayed. I went inside. We went into the Nipi. I connected with the earth. I didn't really even know what was truly going on out there. I could feel it, but I wasn't like getting the updates, you know, every week about what was happening. I was energetically connected to the collective, but I also knew I had a mission that kind of needed me to be not in it at that moment and trust that.
Yeah.
Which... Sometimes family doesn't understand that mm-hmm. in those times of intensity, right?
Yeah. Do you feel that was kind of the universe's way and God's way of kind of giving you that gift to continue working on yourself, almost like maybe you're not ready to go out and to be that person that I created you to be yet?
I'm still, to this day, having that discussion. Some days I feel really ready. Yeah. Some days I'm like, who am I? I think I'm being a good person. I mean, I'm a good person, right? What?
Yeah. Well,
I struggle with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I mean, the who am I question is always, always present. And, you know, I mean, I hate that is so... But that's one of my favorite things about being a person in recovery is that I get to live a life that is focused on continuous personal growth and development for the rest of my life. And I think that's something that a lot of people miss out on that in life. A lot of people, they don't ever take that opportunity to really dive in deep to themselves and to work on themselves and to heal and to change and to be the best person that they can be and to show up for their brothers and sisters. I mean, I think people are good people. I'm not saying that they're not, but everyone is so busy and so distracted that they just kind of, you know, you go on autopilot and you just go through life and you just kind of are who you are. People in recovery from addictions, no matter what the addiction is, we're kind of forced to really look inward and you know, figure out what's, I don't want to say broken, but kind of, you know.
Yeah, what's broken.
What's broken.
No, that's right.
and you know, and that's a beautiful opportunity for us. And I, for one, love
Me too. Love it. Thank God I was forced. Because I wouldn't have done it on my own, I don't think. You know, not right now anyway, so... that brings me to a question, though. Quick question: are you in recovery?
We're all recovering from something. So yes.
Okay.
I mean, right now, I guess. Yeah, I would say my heart is in recovery. I would say that, and my spirit.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Since we're rolling.
So I want to go off of the I am question. Yes. The I am. So, what I've noticed about myself I'll have this internal dialogue that asks that question over and over again in my head mm-hmm. when I'm about to have to make a huge change. Mm-hmm. And it'll start just asking, I'll start saying, whoa, who am I? Because things start to kind of drift apart and they kind of come together. So the who am I question for me, just sitting in a meditation, is very profound. Mm. And going off again what you said, what if our purpose in life is just us, ourselves? Mm. What if our only purpose, all of us, was we were the purpose to just be, to just go inside and figure out who we are? Mm. And then everything else around that came together.
I think there's a theology out there that that's the theory, is that we were sent here to heal to this earth, and that was kind of our purpose for this stop on our journey, to heal, to change, and that way when we rejoin that collective conscious, I don't know where it goes from there.
Do we just disappear?
I don't think we just disappear. I don't know what happens next. You know,
took flight without landing, did you?
I don't. Yeah. But you know, man's quest to explain the unexplainable through, you know, explanation of these sorts of things is something that I dabbled in for a very long time, and I couldn't find an answer that was satisfying to me. Mm-hmm. And by kind of giving up on that and just allowing what is to be and to just experience life as it is and to try to be in tune with nature in particular has really caused a shift in myself internally that's been a beautiful growth. I still strive for answers, but I'm starting to come to terms with these are answers that I'll probably never be satisfied with the answers that are available to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's okay for me.
Yeah. True. I want to add that you'd mentioned meditation and trying to discover these answers to these questions even. And we've had some profound, Clayton leads a Dharma recovery meeting over at The Rock, and I've been participating for about, I don't know, what, a year now, probably, every Tuesday. And just here recently, I've had some really profound, very emotional, intense meditation. And I was getting to a point where I wasn't sure if it was working, and I wasn't sure if I was doing it right. And I was, you know, and I've heard many times, like, it's a practice, and it's different for everyone. But lately, I felt, like, really checked into it and really invested. And it's been a very profound experience. Where I'm able to just observe and listen, and it's been super helpful for me. So,
yes,
most certainly. And I was going to ask you the question, and meditation was really the only answer that I came up with in my mind. So you had talked about through some of your sessions and stuff that the person kind of needs to come with the intention and the knowing of what it is that they need to heal from. Mm-hmm. How does one discover that within themselves? Because I struggle with that.
The body always knows. Our physical body is a direct line and connector. So there's the physical body, the heart, and spirit. And our bodies, our physical bodies hold energy in our muscles and our cells and our joints and our tissues, even in our bones, generational. So our physical body, anywhere we hold pain or tension, there's a communication there. Something is speaking. Something is trying to tell us something. But our hearts have to listen to it. And sometimes the pain can be so intense, we cannot listen to it because it's gotten so intense. So meditation in that way would be one of the only ways that would work to get to that place if you're in a lot of physical pain. Because you've now gotten to a point where it's kind of you're extreme. You're now in an extreme. So our physical bodies always know the answer, but do we ever really want to know the real answer? Because a lot of times when we figure out what we got to heal, it's not like going to take 2 weeks. And it's not only about us. It may be 7 generations backwards and 7 generations forwards, and we got a lot we're carrying. We're all different. We all have different agreements. We all came here with different things. We've all been here different amount of times. So that all takes into account of it. And it's just how willing is the person to really be vulnerable with themselves. And because we all always know what we need to know when we need to know it, if we want to be open to it. So if we're ready to start, if we're ready to start our healing journey, our soul knows that. So it's going to give us all the answers. It's going to send us all the medicine people. It's going to send us all the places to go to eat good food. It's going to do all that. But do we really want to do the work? Do we really want to change and have practices? Because a practice doesn't guarantee you anything, does it? That's why it's almost hard to start it. Because it doesn't guarantee you're going to get anything out of it.
Very true.
But I will say the practice of yoga was what freed me from myself. And yoga has 8 limbs. It's not just the physical asana. It's multitude of different things. But choosing the path of that, which is an internal path, is what helps. It really helps, an internal path, going within. And I feel like it, in my life, I had to go without so much looking for help, and it didn't work enough. And then I then had to go within. And so sometimes that does take that.
Now, when you say go within and you connect that with yoga, can you explain what you mean by that? I think of yoga like, you know,
people okay. like yoga. Okay, people yeah. out, so. Okay, so the yoga that I feel most called to practice is more of a devotional type yoga. So as I'm breathing and I'm devoting my body and my energy to move something through me for the greater good. So when I'm reaching down to the earth, I'm loving Mother Earth. When I'm reaching up to the sun, I'm bringing that light down into myself. So you almost become your own channel by the devotion. There's a lot of different ways to do yoga. I started doing the workout yoga because I used to work out a lot. I used to be a bodybuilder.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of things. Told you, I have a lot. So... But yoga freed me from that because I had to have the workout yoga from the bodybuilding to be able to see the space, to be able to feel the space, because that was my addiction, working out. That was my addiction, vanity, that part of the self.
Yeah.
So overcoming that, the only way to do it is to go in, to direct that power inside, and then the power can be transmuted outside.
Good answer.
Yeah, that is. Wow, I'm learning so much about you today. I love that.
Dude, I'm still tripping that she's blind. Like, I am. I'm just, y'all know me. I'm honest, man. I'm still tripping. Every time she looks at me, I'm like, can she see me right now?
I mean, I got all dressed up for nothing.
I'm dressed.
I never wear collared shirts.
He doesn't.
So in a lot of the practices and stuff, it centers around the ones that I've experienced with you. And I have had the opportunity to be in some of Maha's yoga classes. And what she described is absolutely true. And they were unlike any other yoga class that I've ever been a part of. I mean, they brought aspects of, you know, prayer and meditation and you know, the mindfulness. That I know that yoga embodies all of those things, but the way that you had led that class was something completely different to me, and it was beautiful, and that was some of the best yoga sessions that I've ever done were with you. So, whatever style it is that you practice, I'm loving that because that is great.
You said there were 6 or 8 different types of yoga. Is that what
there's
you said?
8 different limbs of yoga.
8 different limbs.
Yes.
Okay.
So
meaning?
Oh well, we're gonna go into that. So
just a simple like third grade version.
Like there's the asana. There's breath work, pranayama. There's meditation. There is withdrawing the senses. There's samadhi. There's service of the heart, giving your heart. So giving your heart is yoga in the world. When you go and serve, that's a form of yoga, and it creates good karma. And that's what really yoga is. It's about burning up your karma by you devoting your energy, your time, your breath, And naturally, you'll start to have awarenesses about yourself that you're like, oh, I could be different there, or I could make a higher choice. And it's just by your breath and the life force that's moving through you.
Mm. Very good.
Nice. You like your yoga answer? We're gonna get way into yoga now.
Yeah.
And you can visualize yoga. If you can't do the yoga postures, there are people that can't do yoga at all, but if they visualize it, they're doing the same thing at the same time.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Mm.
Because as y'all know, yes. I'm like physically disabled, so I...
You could sit in a class, listen to a guide that has that awareness, and you could receive that same exact thing if you can visualize it.
I wish that I knew that, like when I originally met you, because you were teaching yoga at The Rock, and I was staying upstairs, and I did not know that it would be any sort of beneficial for me to be in there if I wasn't physically able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, for all of our listeners, like there are different types of yoga, and what she said.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I love that. I didn't know that, but I can certainly see that, how it transcends the physical.
It does. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of the things that I've done with you and stuff have been in kind of collective gatherings and stuff. So how do you see and feel that those collective gatherings, that connection with others, kind of amplify the experience and just the power of the heart as people come together? Because, I mean, that's something that I truly experience. And I think that when Chad was talking about the meditations that we do at Dharma Recovery and stuff, I found that to be a very powerful experience and stuff as well. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of us there together kind of going through that same experience together. And there's a lot of beauty in that. So how have you witnessed those collective gatherings kind of amplifying the experience in the heart?
Well, I would say a big thing about it is when there's a lot of people at a gathering, each person brings a piece of the collective or a piece of awareness that we wouldn't have if they weren't there. So each person has their medicine and each person has their light. Excuse me. And then the more people that are there, the more that gathering can ripple out into the world because there's more consciousness there. Everything is consciousness. Everything is consciousness. But if we have people coming together to merge their consciousness for a higher purpose, for an intention, that amplifies and that ripple out is like a tsunami out into the world. So that where two or more gather, there I am. That it's a verse. It just means that amplitude of energy in that space, like a trampoline.
So you said that consciousness is everything. So kind of what are your thoughts on the subconscious then?
And
maybe even kind of how that does tie into meditation and stuff? Because I think that was kind of brought up a little bit in one of our meetings here recently.
Yeah, so the subconscious is, okay, so there's this frequency of consciousness going here, and the subconscious is running underneath the conscious world all the time. So if we have thoughts in the subconscious that are negative, but we're up here thinking we're confident, there's these thoughts are actually creating our reality. Mm. So we're going to start having experiences where we lack confidence, or we get angry, or we're fearful because we have an underlying program, frequency band. But consciousness is, you can connect to different dimensions of consciousness and connect into different aspects of yourself. That's the same thing as accessing your subconscious. So you can liken that to shadow work, is the working into the subconscious, where we can't always reach for the higher realms because we also have to understand we have subconscious underneath that, and they have to merge together. The gap has to blend.
Okay.
And if we're not looking at our subconscious programming, we're connecting in with God, Source, Spirit, our higher self here, and we're wondering why there's still a gap between how we show up and how we know ourselves to be.
Mm. Wow. So what happens when you elevate your subconscious to the level of kind of meeting the same level as your consciousness.
Well, that's also a practice. It's like a game. Every time you delete a program out of the subconscious, your consciousness goes up, but then you got another one. I mean, it's just like layers of it. Mm. I don't feel we ever escape that part of our humanness.
Oh, well, certainly. Everybody, you know, has fears and insecurities.
Always, because we're connected to the collective, and it's moving through and waving through the frequencies of the world. Mm-hmm. So it's just about how fast we can choose a different thought, or how fast we can choose how we're going to respond instead of react. It's about our choices. That's what helps that merge.
Is the subconscious primarily negative?
No.
Okay.
What is negative, though? A perception, yes? Hmm.
I guess even if you think in the sense of fear,
yeah,
there are good fears.
Fear's good to me. When I get fearful, I know I need to make moves and something really awesome mm-hmm. is about to happen. So to me, I feel the fear as that same, but I also know that it's a really good thing.
Yeah, fear kept us alive.
Yes.
Especially, I mean, you look back in the day, I mean, hunters, gatherers and stuff like that, when you felt that fear, those are, so fear, a lot of times I believe bringing it back to the heart and, like, you know, your instincts and stuff like that. I feel like those are very instinctual and kind of heart given. I don't know where it comes from, but tuning in and listening is probably wise. But yeah.
It is an innate intelligence. It is an actual system. Like, our body is innately intelligent like that. Mm. And when we tune into our heart, our internal compass, it guides everything. That doesn't mean we're always going to have rainbows and butterflies or we're going to have chaos. But at least when we're moving through it, we can still balance with what we're doing. We can still keep one foot in front of the other because the power of the heart is so powerful. It doesn't matter if it's a hurricane or a snowstorm. It's still going to do what it does. It's still, that energy is still going in that direction.
Mm. You say tune into the heart, and we have a wide variety of watchers and listeners.
Yes.
What do you say is the simplest way for someone that don't even necessarily know, like, what that means? Like, what is the easiest way to tune into the heart, like, that can be practiced alone or at home or tonight? Or, like, where's a good starting point to really...
Should we do it together really quick and just see? Because all it is put your left hand on your heart, your right hand on top of your left hand, and close your eyes. And just take 5 breaths in and out of that space underneath your hands. And every time you breathe in, just let the breath hold itself in the center of your heart. And when you breathe out, just let go. So do you feel a difference?
Yeah, definitely.
So that is all. That right there will open the gateway.
Wow.
It's really that
so
easy.
So it really is that simple. That was my question. That's what I was
going to ask.
Because I'm a very simple.
There's a lot of things that are very complicated that don't have to be complicated. And a lot of it has to do with internal work. Spiritual work, self-love, it isn't that hard. But when we've made it that hard, we then think we have to have all of these things to be able to heal.
Yeah. Mm. So you can just start with some breath work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that easy. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should have started with that.
I know. It's wild how it really kind of just brings me down a notch. And I've noticed that before, but, like, I get so caught up in the day-to-day life and the go, and I forget that I can always just return to that. I can always just stop what I'm doing and take some deep breaths. And I'm quick to tell Alyssa, who is my partner, like, hey, have you took a breath today? But I don't always do it for myself. So doing it right here, right now is that's powerful. And it's a good reminder that I can do that at any time.
Yeah.
I don't need anybody else or anything else. Mm-hmm. I can just do it.
And everything around you is going to be okay, and it's going to keep doing what it does.
Right.
But you're always here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Thank you for asking that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, as we kind of grounded a little bit and stuff, and it kind of brought me to a place of peace and more in tune to what I feel like when I'm out in nature. So I'm kind of, you know, as far as connecting the heart's influence and the relationship with nature. So how does nature tie into kind of the role of the heart and one's relationship with nature and into their heart experience and stuff? How is being out in nature kind of help you tune into that?
Well, nature is Mother Earth, and we live on this earth, and our bodies are the same body as the earth. So we have the same heart that is in the center of the earth, and there is an energetic, spiritual heart within the earth. Hmm. And so when we're in nature, it's almost like it is the earth's way to communicate in all of these different channels, whether it's through the trees, or if you just listen to the wind, if you just listen to the wind rather than let it blow you or blow by you, you can hear something in the wind. If you pause when you see a deer and you just pause and you connect in with that deer, it's more than just a deer. There's an exchange that happens. So there is a natural exchange that happens when you're out in nature. There's no resistance in nature, and there's no resistance from us to nature other than us getting past our things we got to do and all that to get out there. But when we're out there, it's like we are a part of it. We never left it. And so all the answers are there. It's clear. There's nothing that is you can't change nature. Mm-hmm. You can build whatever you want to. You can have the loudest machinery you want to, but it still doesn't change the frequency of nature.
Mm. And it will prevail. We will.
Think about.
We're such a blip.
Driving down the highway, and you look on the highway and all the concrete, and sometimes you see trees sprouting up on the side. Mm. Well, everything wants to live. You can't stop nature. Mm. So that's how powerful of a guide and of a force and of a teacher and of medicine it is as well.
Mm. Not, yeah, nature. I was just thinking about that before you said it, because earlier in the show you said, you know, nature's the only thing that hasn't been, you know, basically or can't be destroyed by humans, or how did you say it can be changed?
Yes.
I was thinking that, and then you said it, so it kind of answered my question. But
now, we as humans can make choices to create karma where we will hurt ourselves from continuing to cut down trees, from building other buildings when we have plenty of vacant buildings. That is a human being's choice, so it would change. But the actual frequency of nature, you can't do anything to it.
Right, I guess. I'll follow.
Let's see.
What else you got on the sheet here, Clayton?
Well, we've been jumping around a lot.
I haven't looked at it once. I still haven't read it. I was joking about not having read this before we started, and I was like, I'm going to keep flipping through this, and eventually I'm going to actually read it. I still haven't. I keep glancing down at it, and then another question pops up, and I love how these things just happen naturally in this moment. That's so beautiful.
And I will add to the one thing that you could do to connect in your heart. And, you know, all of us get up at different times in the morning. All of us have alarms or we don't have alarms. But we can take 5 minutes when we're laying in the bed before we get up to just put our hands here and attune our day to our heart's frequency. And just that in itself changes everything. Mm. It changes the dimension in which you exist. It changes the people you'll meet. It changes the choices that you'll have. It changes everything. So that's also something that we can all do in the morning. And you can also do it at night before you go to bed.
Mm. That's incredibly powerful. And I always hate the days that, you know, I wake up late and you wake up and it's like the gun went off and you got to jump out of bed and get ready. And immediately you're into the routine, you're into the responsibilities, and you're knocking stuff out. Mm-hmm. And those days just don't go nearly as well. It's hard to get back on track when you kind of come awake like that.
Yeah.
So that's something that I certainly need to do a better job at is you know, set the alarm for a little bit earlier, get up and devote some time to yourself in the morning, set your intentions for the day.
Yeah.
You know, starting your day the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so simple. That's such a simple thing to do, to just lay there and take an extra couple minutes to kind of set the intention for the day.
And then that simplicity helps you realize your power. Hmm. It helps you realize your power of your intention. And that's really where the power is, of having awareness of how powerful your intention is, whatever you choose. Even if you don't choose an intention, you still have an intention. Your subconscious is choosing the intention. So again, you either let the subconscious choose it or we choose it.
Mm.
I don't want my subconscious choosing it. I have my own relationship with that. So, but that's just my choice.
What does that mean? What does that mean? You have your own relationship with your subconscious.
I know when I need to go work on it, and I know how to do it that way. But I don't want it to choose my life. I don't want it to run my day. I don't want it to be the frequency in which I connect to people throughout the day.
Mm.
I would rather that be elevated to my heart. Why not? Yeah. And the way in which I work is I believe that if the heart chakra and the heart center is aligned, all the lower chakras will figure it out and all the upper chakras figure it out. And they always do.
Mm-hmm.
They always do. It's the bridge.
I have so many questions for you. I feel like I could do this for hours. And we're limited on time. Can you explain the chakras also at like a third grade education level, or, you know, so I can understand?
Yeah. So chakras are energy centers or energy wheels, and they're a conglomeration of energetic pathways. And we have a basic seven. So I'll just start with the basic seven.
Okay.
One is at your root. So it's right at the base of your spine, and it's the color red. The second one is your sacral. It's right above it where your sexual organs are, but right below your navel, and it's orange. On up, it's in your navel, right where your belly button connects your umbilical cord. Mm-hmm. That's your solar plexus, and it's yellow. It's a rainbow. You go up the heart, it's green. You go up to the throat, it's blue. You go up to the third eye, it's indigo. You go up to the crown, it's violet. And so all that makes a white light when all of that is in alignment.
Mm-hmm.
And the colors are representation because they're a frequency. They're a vibration.
Okay.
And so that's really the most basic of the chakras. Your root is responsible for your grounding, your stability, your connection, your rootedness. Your sacral is responsible for your creativity, your sexuality, your sensuality, your connection to yourself. Solar plexus is your power center, your passion, your will for life, your divine will. The heart is love, unconditional love, acceptance, compassion. The throat is your voice, the way in which your heart expresses into the world, the way in which you voice yourself. It's the seat of your expression. The third eye is your vision, your awareness, your perceptions. Has nothing to do with your mind. It's the higher mind. You're able to see and understand from a place of unity. And then your crown is your connection to God, source, spirit, yourself, higher self, the light of your soul, the source, divine. And all of that, when it's in alignment energetically, when we're energetically healthy, we don't get diseases. We don't get disorders, because everything starts with energy first.
It's kind of like... Is that similar to congruency? A friend of ours, Dean, who is a supporter of what we do here, tells me, I've heard him say multiple times, when I'm congruent, when what I think matches up with what I say, and what I say matches up with how I feel, and how I feel matches up with, lines up with how I act. So just the four, you know, then I'm congruent.
Yep.
And that's kind of sounds like what you're describing. So
yep.
love that.
And each of us have different challenges in different chakras in different times in our life. So you could have three of them that you're very aware that you need to be aware of. And we're all different. So different phases of our life, one of them is more prominent for us to be present with.
Okay. Very cool. That, it also makes me think of the Enneagram. Are you familiar?
Yes.
The Enneagram,
yes.
The way that, so in my internship here, we did it because Christian's a life coach and he's trained to read it in the triad method. And it points to, what is it, heart, gut, and mind, heart, gut, and mind, something like that. And with the triad method, it kind of, you know, it's the same, trying to get to the center. You want to be in the middle. So if you're, you know, like I was heart and gut, but my joy and happiness were very low the way I scored on this exam, on this test. And so it gives me some tips on what to do to get back to that center. So also very, you know, related,
yeah.
I think.
Yes.
This has been great. You got
that. That does bring up an interesting question. I know it's, you know, getting towards the end and stuff, and this is kind of a bigger topic. But what do you kind of feel about, let's say, like the intersection of science and spirituality with all of these, you know, tests and all of these attempts to explain and things like that. I mean, operating from the heart is not really an analytical practice, yet there's so much analytics and science and stuff of an attempt to explain. So, you know, Chad was just describing basically a test that kind of explains our human nature and how we operate and stuff. So I kind of find that to be an interesting ad lib question.
Well, unless science or scientists connect in with the spirit of what they're doing, everything has a spirit. They will never find the answer.
Except with their intent?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, their true intent. If it is to find an understanding and to prove something, it's the gap between science and spirituality will never fully merge. You can liken this to how in big pharma there are plant medicines and things now intersecting them in big pharma. Well, they don't connect in with that spirit. They don't pray to that plant. They don't understand that plant gave its life for us to live. So they're continuing to make the gap bigger by not giving gratitude and honor and really giving back. Yeah. It's for self.
It is for self. I think so often in science and research and development and everything, I mean, they have a conclusion that they want to prove. They start there, and then they find evidence to kind of back up their theory and stuff instead of having an open exploration. Because, I mean, people aren't really, they're not really interested in the truth. They're interested in proving what they believe to be right.
Right. And if we are the creator of everything in our reality, if we create a conclusion, we are going to find all the things to prove that conclusion because we just created it. So are we really figuring anything out other than what we wanted to figure out? No.
Right. So what have you accomplished?
Nothing.
Okay.
It seems like a little bit of a futile endeavor.
Yeah. I'm going to let that one sink in for a second. I feel like that's a whole other topic for a whole other show.
Yeah. That's why I was a little cautious to bring it up. This is going to be a big one to throw in on the tail end.
I'll come back.
Yeah. I could tell you got a lot to say on that one. So that's.
Oh, yeah, but truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot in there.
Awesome.
So as we wrap up, is there... what would you like to leave us with and our listeners with, whether that's, you know, some of the most profound lessons or experiences that you've encountered or just what you want to send out into the world, you know, to kind of help us on this journey of life through all these experiences we've been talking about?
Yeah, I hope and I pray that everybody upon the planet understands that they can be their own healer, that they are their own guru, that they don't have to do it alone and are never doing it alone, but we do have to understand our responsibility and the power that we have as spiritual beings on this planet, and we're all spiritual beings, whether we live it or not, whether we walk it and talk it or not. So that's really my prayer, is that everyone wakes up to their power, to their free will choice and their sovereignty. Mm. And all of that is connected in with your heart. And when you are fully trusting in that, nobody can tell you what to do because they don't need to. Nobody can steer you outside of that. They can try, but they're not going to. And that is the power of the heart. Mm. So that is my prayer. That is my blessing. That is my wish. I feel like as all these hoops within the world heal and all these circles come together, this is the rainbow. This is the new earth. This is now. It is here. Mm. It's us believing it and calling it into ourselves and living it and creating it together. Nobody's going to give it to us. It's not going to come outside of us. It's this. Mm. It's this. Mm. So thank you.
That was
for
great.
Letting me be here.
Absolutely.
Thank you for being here. I've gained so much from this whole conversation because I didn't know you super well, other than like, hey, how you doing in passing. So this has been great for me. I love being the co-host, with Clayton up here. That's my dog. So do you have anything in closing before we wrap it up?
No.
Good.
I think we did a good job.
You did a great job. Thank you to our supporters, our donors. Y'all be sure, if you're still watching, to check out mosthighlife.com. We have a Black Friday through Cyber Monday 25% off promo code on all the merchandise. So 25% off your total order from Friday to Monday. Mosthighlife.com. And this has been another epic episode of the Most High Show.
Woo! Yay! There you go. Do you offer any classes, or do you have a community that you're creating or trying to create?
Yes, actually. To be honest with you, I'm just throwing myself out there and seeing. I know my heart, so I know what I'm throwing my intention out there. Whatever is going to catch the bait, for lack of a better term, the vibration is going to match. So I do have a lot of things that I've been working on that I offer. I just haven't found the people yet that receive it. So yes, you're in the answer.
So how can we better help you with that? Because I'm very interested in what you have to offer, and I've done a sweat lodge with you, and I love your energy and everything that comes with it.
Yeah, is there a way that people could, like our viewers, or because people will see this part on Monday when it's on our digital library. So is there a way to contact you or set something up?
Yeah,
if you feel comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do I say it right now live?
Yeah, we're not live. Okay, Christian, we're not live. Okay.
Okay. So they can email me at enteringeden333@gmail.com. I respond to that. And a lot of times I like to have conversations with people, anybody that I'm going to connect with or help. So I usually call like a 15-minute conversation, and then we connect and I see what it is that I can offer to support them exactly where they are, because I've learned a lot of things and all of it is kind of merged together in like this one big healing modality ball. And so when people come up, it's kind of like I have to stick my hand in Mary Poppins' bag to match whoever that is, because we're all so different. Mm-hmm. Right. And I can only meet somebody where they are when I really hear their voice talk and I hear their heart. Mm-hmm. So that's why I don't market myself. I don't social media market myself much. I didn't feel called to do that in my life. I didn't feel like that was where I was going to make the authentic connections for long-term sustainability.
So if me and a couple other girls wanted to come to you for like a retreat or like some sort of workshop or continuous sessions, we could do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I just want to know. All right.
Good question.
Thank you.
How do you trust your intuition? Do you feel it somewhere in your body? Or is it in your mind?
Well, I would say it first starts in the body. So I'll give you an example. For me, if I'm in somewhere and I'm not listening to my intuition, my body will like seize up or I'll realize I'm not breathing. And I don't even know that. So first it's in the body, because if our body's tense, we can't even feel what emotion is trying to be our red flag.
Right.
I feel like the emotions are the red flags of what our intuition is trying to tell us, whether we need to make that choice or we don't need to make that choice, whether we need to write that book or we don't need to write that book. But we can't feel into the emotions, which are connected to the heart, with the body tense, with it being held in the body, because we don't know what we're feeling. We don't know if we're tuning into something from last year or last week. Mm-hmm. And so if it really all starts in the body. And once that organism is flowing how it needs to, the intuition is natural, especially as a woman. We're born with that as like an extrasensory gift. Mm-hmm. It's a gift, but we forget it, or it's shut down. Or so many times someone told us, when we knew something, no, that's not true.
Right.
No, that's not true. Well, we're like, well, maybe it's not true. I don't know how to prove it. It's my intuition. It's just talking to me.
Yeah.
So that, it's again, not going to be proven. It's a knowing that once your body is in alignment, your heart's in alignment, you're connected to your spirit, it just is.
Mm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, can I ask one more question?
Yeah.
Okay, how do you, in your personal life, how do you channel your anger?
Wow, good question. I do breath work.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I do breath work.
What if your lungs don't work very well?
If your lungs don't work very well,
probably get that fixed.
You can get that fixed. I was going to say tone or scream or let out some type of frequency.
Okay.
But if your lungs don't work, you might not can talk.
Right.
So that's another thing, is you can let out a frequency, whether you scream, whether you sing, whether you go, it doesn't matter. Mm. That can help. Another thing about sitting with your anger. I've sat with my anger a lot and just felt it.
Mm-hmm.
Just felt it like, oh, man, that doesn't feel good. But I know it doesn't feel just as good as if I send it out.
Right.
Or if I send it to myself, it feels worse.
Yeah.
So if we sit in it and we feel it, and as women, you can alchemize that anger. You can channel it. But we got to sit with it first.
Yeah.
We got to feel it in our bodies, and we got to also have awareness of where it's triggered from. Because if we don't know our triggers, we'll just keep getting triggered.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much we send that anger out, we'll just keep getting tripped.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, depending on how deep you want to go, the deepest would be sitting with it and just feeling it.
Okay.
And that would be the quickest way to not allow it to control you, because you're not like pushing it out. You're actually taking responsibility for it as yours.
Yeah.
And then get curious about it. Where did it come from?
Mm-hmm.
Why? What do you have to say? I'm listening. And then listen to it, because it's a communicator.
That's beautiful, being nice to my feelings. That's I like the thought of
that. Yeah, I had to do it. I'm an intense person, and I had to start being nice to all those contrasted side of what I wanted to choose to be, but we're always both.
Mm-hmm.
When it's always both, we have to love it. We have to be nice to it. We have to honor it, and then it'll merge with the light of ourselves.
Wow. Okay. Heard. Thank you.